Hi, friend. This is Janet Parshall. Thanks so much for downloading this podcast. I truly hope you hear something that encourages you in your walk with Christ and helps you to grow up in Him. These programs are designed to equip and edify and enlighten and encourage and then gently but steadfastly push you out into the marketplace of ideas where you can tell people the good news that Jesus is Lord, that He's paid the penalty for our sins, and that He rose from the dead. Speaking about all that good news, I want to tell you about this month's truth tool. It's called Questioning Christianity, and I chose this book particularly as we begin a new year this January, because a lot of us are doing introspection about our life, where we've been, where we want to go, the goals we're setting for this year. And this is often the time when unanswered questions have a way of rising up in our soul. And you would not be alone, by the way, if you began to question some aspects of Christianity. We all do, by the way. That's a walk by faith, by the way, and not by sight. Sometimes we have these questions because we don't know how to read the Word of God. And God's truth is revealed to us in often surprising ways through His Word. Every one of our questions are valuable, every one of our questions are important, and every one of our questions about Christianity can be answered. So I want you to read this book as we start out a new year together. Find out who Jesus is, learn to hear the story of what He's done for us in a brand new and exciting way, and come to recognize the profound and encouraging truth that you are a part of that story. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you call 877-JANET-58, that's 877-JANET-58, or you can give online at the website at inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org, scroll all the way to the bottom of the page. There's the cover of the book, Questioning Christianity. Click it on, make your donation through the website. Also, while you're there, you might want to consider becoming a Parshall partner. Those are our friends that are growing each and every single day, friends who have set a level of their own choosing and then give every single month. The financial spinal column, if you will, of In the Market with Janet Parshall. The website will explain how I say thank you to those friends who are monthly givers. So thank you very much for letting me take a few moments to talk to you about this month's Truth Tool. And now, please enjoy the broadcast.
Here are some of the news headlines we're watching.
By the time the conference was over, the president won a pledge.
So Americans worshiping government over God.
An extremely rare safety move by a nation.
17 years the Palestinians and Israelis negotiated.
Precautions are plentiful, including barriers, boarded up windows, and bolstered reinforcement numbers.
Washington, D.C. is locking down ahead of the presidential inauguration on January 20th.
And will, to the best of my ability,
preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
On the defensive, the EU's vaccine negotiator faced tough questions over the bloc's slow rollout of vaccinations. Sandra Galina defended the Commission's strategy, explaining that the number of doses should ramp up by April.
The list is growing. Twitter took its action Friday to permanently suspend the president's account. Amazon Web Services took down Parler, a Twitter competitor and growing social media haven for conservatives. Google and Apple have also banned Parler.
A small but growing number of employers is offering to pay their employees to get vaccinated.
Al-Qaeda has a new home base. It is the Islamic Republic of Iran.
We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. A man and a woman.
Thousands of migrants from Central America are gathering in Guatemala for an expected push north towards the United States.
This is America's day. This is democracy's day. A day of history and hope, of renewal and resolve.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this virtual rally for the 48th annual March for Life.
Hello, brothers and sisters in the fight for life. It is such an honor to be part of this global human rights movement with you, the greatest global human rights movement in history.
I believe that life begins at conception. I believe that God knew us before He formed us in the womb. These beliefs are an important part of my Christian faith.
I and all pro-life members of Congress know that whether in person or virtual, we are together strong. Life unites.
Hello, friends. Welcome to In the Market with Janet Parshall. Happy Friday to you. Happy New Year to you. And Craig Parshall is with me as he is on Fridays. But this Friday is particularly special because We, for the last several years, have decided that we would take a look at the year that was the first time we do a live program together as husband and wife. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to take a look back at 2021, the highs and lows, some of the big stories, some of the standout stories, and also, if you will, a kind of foreshadowing of some of the things that we might see in 2022. In fact, as my team did such a stellar job in putting these montages together, and we'll do this for 2 hours today, and we will review the entire year, 2021. There's so many stories that come back to mind again, and some that still will be screaming across our headlines, like COVID, which is a very personal subject for an awful lot of people and was a very public subject today before the United States Supreme Court, where the arguments were heard against a federal mandate for vaccination. Well, I want to get ahead of myself. I want to invite Craig to jump in. Let me remind you again that Craig works with the American Center for Law and Justice and the American Principles Project. And I'm so very grateful to have him not only as my husband and am I blessed personally with all that he's taught me, but also the legal acumen and the biblical knowledge that he brings to the table every time we get together on these Fridays. So I'm very, very thankful. Craig, let's start. Obviously, the big standout event for January was the swearing in of a new president of these United States. And I'm always reminded when we see a presidential inauguration that this is the only kind of government where we get to see the passage of power, not with bullets, but with ballots. And that's something I think we should be thanking God for.
Yeah. No matter how contentious the electrified political environment is during and even after a national election, and that was certainly the case in this very contentious election battle nationally leading up to President Biden taking office and raising his right hand. And on Inauguration Day on January 20th, regardless, the Republic stands. The Constitution is still the document that rules and governs as long as the governed, that's us, support that, remind our leaders that they need to adhere to it, and hopefully we get judges that will continue to enforce it.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting talking about judges. And again, this is an overview of 2021. I wonder how many of our friends remember that Parler was taken down, enshrined in that Constitution of the United States and our precious Bill of Rights, is this idea of freedom of speech. And so why in the world would Parler, another social media platform, be shut down? And in fact, it's a little bit, if I can put it this way, like the Sorcerer's Apprentice. They tried to lop off the head of Parler, and it came back like the Mickey Mouse cartoon with all kinds of other new little social platforms. So I think shutting one down is kind of fertilizer for growing other social platforms, isn't it?
Just to review the Parler situation, it was significant because the big five, as I call them, Facebook, Google, Twitter, Amazon, and Apple, these are the digital platform monopolies that control the vast majority of information, viewpoints, data that we rely on, that businesses do, that we all take for granted on our iPhones and our devices and computers that we use. And it is eclipsed, frankly, and exceeded the old technology that most Americans used to rely on, which was the morning newspaper that they would physically walk through, the sports pages in the news section, or magazines. Many newspapers and magazines have gone the way to the dodo bird because of online digital information platforms. But these giants control access to the point where when Parler, which had a reputation as a free speech zone, as opposed to these five that had said, well, free speech for me, but not for thee. We will decide whether you hit some tripwires of political correctness. And if you do, we'll take you down and block you. Parler said, nope, we're going to be a more free speech oriented, which means conservatives then began flocking to Parler because the anecdotal and numerical information for decades has proven the point that they need some kind of free speech zone. And then what happens? Parler cannot get a server to be able to continue their work as they're growing because they're dependent on cloud services like Amazon and others that shut them down. So you talk about killing your competition. That's one of the signs of a monopoly that's not just a monopoly, but using its monopoly power to harm consumers.
That's a quick overview of January 2021. When we come back, let's see what February held. By the way, if you're interested in jumping in, be my guest, 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. Back after this. Have you ever seriously questioned Christianity? If so, you're not alone. Is this faith outdated, irrelevant, even harmful? That's why I've chosen Questioning Christianity as this month's truth tool. Your doubts deserve to be answered so that you can grow spiritually. Ask for your copy of Questioning Christianity when you give a gift of any amount to In the Market. Call 877-JANET-58, 877-JANET-58, or go to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org.
Former President Donald Trump tonight declared not guilty of the impeachment charge he incited insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th.
The humanitarian crisis in Texas is accelerating. Millions still without power or water.
The federal government is shipping out an additional 500,000 coronavirus vaccines nationwide.
Tonight, a vaccine headache.
Really extremely frustrated.
For people in Rhode Island trying to get a shot.
Inside an aircraft hangar in Denver, the United 777 involved in Saturday's mid-air emergency. A massive hole punched in the belly of the plane near the wing, likely from shrapnel from the exploding engine.
Social media giant Facebook has announced it will restrict publishers and Australian users from either sharing or viewing news content from here and right around the world.
Following a tense standoff between Australia and Facebook for more than a week, the Australian government has finally struck a deal after tweaks to a proposed law forcing big tech to pay for media content.
Japan is allowing officials to fine people who violate coronavirus rules.
In the NBA, the Dallas Mavericks are no longer playing the national anthem before home games. In fact, the team hasn't played it at all this season.
This morning, quarterback Tom Brady further solidifying his legendary career. Brady winning his seventh Super Bowl ring. That's more than any other team in the NFL.
House lawmakers are diving into the Reddit-driven stock rally that upset Wall Street last month.
At a Khartoum market, vegetable seller Al-Radi Ahmed says prices are changing from one day to the next.
A new case of the Ebola virus has been detected in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo.
Under the Equality Act, disagreement is discrimination. It includes gay marriage, men competing in women's sports, and doctors performing procedures like gender reassignments that go against their conscience.
In Texas, millions remain in the cold and the dark as the state's energy grid struggles to cope.
It is with profound sadness that our beloved Rush, my wonderful husband, passed away this morning due to complications from lung cancer.
When I gathered with people at church and talked about the goodness of God, it was good for my soul. Quite frankly, the whole world seems to be gripey. Have you noticed we're getting gripey lately? I think some people need a little Jesus in their life.
That's a quick overview of February 2021. This is In the Market with Janet Partial. Craig Partial is with me. And this is our custom at the beginning of the year. The first time we do a program live together, we review the year that was and take a look at some of the stories that might be in the headlines in 2022. And I think we can extrapolate a couple out of what we just heard, Craig. COVID, February 2021. COVID, January 2022. Still very much in the air. So is football. Thought it was interesting because, again, it was a Brady bunch of rings, by the way, when you realize exactly that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, giving Brady his seventh title in his first season after leaving New England. And, of course, we're kind of excited to see who will end up at the Super Bowl this year. But we'll leave that aside for a moment. It's pretty exciting football right now.
Yeah. Well, and you're talking about, once again, quarterback Brady, this time on another team, winning the brass ring, you know, climbing the heights again of the Super Bowl. Speaking of heights, how do you like that as a segue? You know, when I look back on a year, I realized the things either I didn't know that are really very interesting that happened or things that I did know and I had forgotten. That's one of the reasons I really love this panorama of review, you know, month by month during both of your hours of your program. But let me talk about winter. You know, we're now resting in February in our discussion, but in the winter of 2021, something happened on a mountain called K2. It is just about 200 meters short of the height of Everest, and yet it is deemed to be the most dangerous difficult climb in any mountain anywhere in the world. And something very interesting happened in the winter of 2021, and that is 10 Nepalese climbers were the very first persons to reach the summit of K2, not in the spring, in the dead of winter. So you talk about scaling heights, unbelievable accomplishment.
And their skill, the mountaineering skill, is just unbelievable. By the way, speaking of going to new heights, let's talk about Jeff Bezos, because Amazon founder Jeff Bezos said in February of last year that he was going to leave the CEO post later in 2021. So it'll be curious to see exactly what his future holds as well. By the way, go ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting. Again, the things that were so significant. I'm particularly on Fridays, Janet, with you. I, because of the amount of time that I spend in my legal work for the organizations I work with, examining the threats, both potential and real, posed by big tech monopolies in terms of the long-term ability of citizens in general to both gather information and to share information and viewpoints. But my particular heart cry is for the Christian church to be able to continue to preach boldly the entire Word of God over the internet without restriction or censorship. And that's really what motivates me in the work that I do in that regard. So I remember that in February, the most audacious shutdown that any big tech company ever exercised was Facebook having the power to shut down the entire continent of Australia because of a dispute that Australia said, look, we, under our laws, you have to pay, let's say, the Brisbane Times, the newspaper, for the content that you allow to be distributed otherwise free of charge on your platform. Facebook said, purely as a matter of economics, no, we don't want to pay that. Australia said, yes, you will. Facebook said, we'll see about it. We are shutting down all of Australia from any access to Facebook, an entire continent. That's the power that they wield.
That's funny. I highlight that one as well. And it shows you again this intersection of technology with the headlines of the day. And let's talk about free speech, because one of the things we heard in that montage was the fact that the Equality Act raised its ugly head, probably the biggest threat against the proclamation of the gospel we've seen thus far. And it's still working its way around Capitol Hill. And now we've got the Fairness for All Act, this horrifically misnamed, equally damaging and dangerous act that's being discussed on Capitol Hill as well. That definitely will be news in 2022.
No question about it. And by the way, those bills completely strip out religious freedom protections that had been in other versions. They are saying, nope. No religious freedom. Thank you very much.
Well, in a year or two of COVID, we're beginning to see how easy it is to strip away religious freedom and protection. Let me take a break and come right back. This is In the Market with Janet Parshall. Craig Parshall is with me, and we're reviewing the year that was.
It's a study of two states with two very different approaches to the pandemic and about the same outcome. Florida, open for business. California, on lockdown.
Planned Parenthood has begun offering hormone therapy to those who identify as transgender. It is a new business model that makes financial sense, potentially for years to come.
Torrential rains across Tennessee flooded homes and churches and left roads impassable. Nashville's mayor declared a state of emergency Sunday night after more than 7 inches of rain fell on the city.
It was a day of reckoning for the CEOs of Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, called to testify before the House Energy and Commerce Committee.
A large container ship that's been blocking traffic in the Suez Canal since Tuesday has been set free.
The trial of another Canadian citizen charged with espionage began Monday in a Beijing courthouse. Former diplomat Michael Kovrig is the second of two Canadians tried for spying in China this month.
Russia has registered a new COVID vaccine, believed to be the world's first vaccine
for animals.
The first step to getting children vaccinated. Just moments ago, Moderna announcing it will start testing its COVID vaccine on children as young as 6 months up to 12 years old.
Officials in Miami Beach have announced they're extending an 8 p.m. curfew in highly trafficked areas through April 12.
A return to normal on Monday as thousands flocked to shopping malls, city centers, parks and beaches across Israel. The country relaxed into a Passover much freer than in 2020.
The fencing and the presence of the National Guard around the Capitol will be scaled back soon. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said it's because there is no known credible threat against Congress at the moment.
A virus that once seemed only to spread is receding. Vaccines that once seemed implausible are finally being administered. And businesses that once were closed are starting to reopen.
Today, Mr. Biden signed the COVID relief bill, authorizing $1.9 trillion in new spending.
That's a quick review of March of 2021. Craig Parshall's with me on this hour's edition of In the Market with Janet Parshall. We're taking a look at the year that was, and in reference to that package again, it was a $1.9 trillion COVID stimulus package. And the president, at the same time he signed that stimulus package, urged states to make all adults eligible for vaccination by May 1st. Well, that'll tell you about an evolution. So we went from eligible to mandating, which takes us to the steps of the Supreme Court today. Kenny, you listened to the oral arguments.
Yes.
Sotomayor was absolutely stunning. I think the Twitter sphere just exploded because she was making all of these aggrandizing statements about numbers and the vaccination, and extremely reputable governmental agencies were pushing back, saying those numbers bear no resemblance to reality.
Well, I listened to almost all of the arguments today. First of all, you get a good sense of where the justices are coming from very often, which is why I find it fascinating, because you'll see really what concerns them. It's not about the arguments being made by the advocates. It's where are they in terms of their decision making and what questions do they have? But Justice Sotomayor didn't have questions. She had arguments that she was making on behalf of the government's mandate with a question mark at the end. That doesn't indicate a question for the counsel, otherwise for the counsel for the government to simply say, yes, that's correct, and then elaborate on what Justice Sotomayor was stating. It was really very startling. Justice Breyer, interestingly, interesting character, a jurist that I think has a real level of integrity because he has a reputation as a left-leaning justice, certainly at the opposite end of a Justice Scalia or Thomas. But he does take every issue seriously. I've seen him chase ideas down regardless of where they may end up, and I found many of his questions about the authority of the mandate extremely telling, which is really what this whole case is about. It's not, well, shouldn't we have a mandate? That's not the issue. We don't have a rule of law that says, well, let's just do the thing we want to do and use the law as an excuse. The law is a set of guardrails around the authority of the federal government to either be able to do certain things but not other things. And then the other things are left to state and local government or to the citizens. That's the way that the fabric of the Constitution is set up. And he was the one, along with several other justices, several of them, who kept pointing out that the Supreme Court has, over the years, developed a way of looking at some of these mandate issues, not just COVID, but overarching authority in general. And here's the rule that they followed. The rule they have followed is this. The greater the impact on economy, politics, freedom, and citizenry, the clearer Congress better be in authorizing a federal agency to do a certain thing. In this case, they were saying, Justice Breyer and others, we don't see in the OSHA law that was created back in the 70s for workplace safety, you know, make sure drills had safety guards on them and things like this. We don't see in this a clear pronouncement by Congress back then that if there's a pandemic, you're going to make people take a vaccine, which according to one of the justices, and I think it may have been Alito, he said, unlike safety guards and things that only apply to the workplace, which is what the OSHA law was meant to do, a mandatory vaccine is not just where you work. Once you're vaccinated, you carry that with you into your private life. It affects your personal life, not just your work site. I think my sense is, and other commentators have indicated this, that this mandate, I believe, is in trouble.
I do too. Justice Gorsuch said, if human nature and history teach anything, it's that civil liberties face grave risks when governments proclaim indefinite states of emergency. I thought that was pretty important, too. He also said the Free Exercise Clause protects not only the right to hold unpopular religious beliefs inwardly and secretly, it protects the right to live out those beliefs publicly and the performance of physical acts. Back after this.
Hey there, I'm Jamin Baxter, and I get to serve Moody Radio as the Director of Business Development. Our team's job is to find businesses that love Moody Radio and Jesus Christ and want to support the work we do financially, just like you. Today, I'd like to introduce you to C.H. Hansen. They work in the metalworking and construction markets. Some of their brands are Superior Tool, Norse, and Palmgren. They make stencils, clamps, layout tools, and more. And you can find their tools in stores like Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, McMaster Car, True Value, Granger, and many, many more. Check out their website at chhansen.com. That's chhansen.com. Thanks to you and to C.H. Hansen for supporting Moody Radio.
Let me give a big shout out to our Partial Partners. Thank you, friends. Partial Partners are becoming the backbone of this ministry. Their generous monthly gifts allow us to provide relevant, compelling programming every day. When you become a Partial Partner, you'll receive private emails directly from me, a weekly audio message only you will hear, and special behind-the-scenes updates as well. Become a Partial Partner today by calling 877-JANET-58 or go to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org.
Christians are being persecuted around the world at a pace not seen since the first century. This as China terrorizes millions of Muslims while conducting business as usual with the world.
The head of the nation's largest abortion provider used the New York Times as the forum to admit the racism of its founder.
Now, after just 100 days, I can report to the nation, America is on the move again.
George Floyd's family celebrated the three guilty verdicts for Derek Chauvin, calling the outcome an answer to prayer and a pivotal moment for racial justice in America.
Corporate America is woke. Woke means being aware of alleged social injustice. So instead of just pitching their products, companies today are pitching political causes. Liberal political causes.
Congressional Democrats taking a first step into a political firestorm over the Supreme Court, planning to introduce a bill to expand the court from 9 justices to 13.
A Syrian missile exploded in southern Israel on Thursday, according to the Israeli military.
Palestinians celebrated as police barriers came down outside Jerusalem's Damascus Gate Sunday night.
Another state is joining the legal battle over the cruise industry shutdown. Now, Alaska is suing the CDC, demanding ships be allowed to set sail from its ports again.
As America continues to reopen, tonight even more signs the U.S. economy is making a comeback.
After months of temporary closures and dismal box office receipts, movie theaters see a light at the end of this pandemic tunnel.
New York City is planning to fully reopen businesses on July 1st. Mayor Bill de Blasio said this morning stores, offices, and theaters will be able to operate at normal capacity then.
The U.S. envoy to Afghanistan says Washington intends to protect human rights there, even after a planned complete military withdrawal later this year.
Quick overview of April 2021 on this hour's edition of In the Market with Janet Parshall. We're taking a look at the year that was, some of the highlights of the stories from 2021, some things we might see in the headlines for 2022. I'm Janet Parshall. My husband Craig Parshall is with me, and we're offering some analysis and insight. I find it interesting, Craig, because almost every single one of these montages necessarily includes something about COVID. And the toy yo-yo comes to mind. It's on, it's off. We're in, we're out. We're there, we're not there. One of the things that happened in April, by the way, is Major League Baseball opened its 2021 season with limited numbers of spectators in attendance for the first time in a year. We also heard about the what was going on with the atrocities in communist China. the persecution against the Uyghurs in the western part of that communist regime, and also the uptick of Christian persecution in February of 2022. Of course, we now will have a diplomatic boycott of the games, which is a bruise, but it's not a black eye against the communist regime. It gives the Olympians the chance to compete, but it does, however, kind of thumb the nose up in terms of international relationships. I'm not a prophet, but I'm going to guess that the viewership for the Olympics won't be as high as always, too, because I think the more and more the disinfectant of sunlight is used to scrub out the heinous infection of communism in China, more and more people are beginning to understand that they have a voice, they can use it, and they can send a message to the communist regime. And you don't have to be the Secretary of State or serve at the United Nations to do so.
Yeah, and the atrocities and the human rights violations in China are so well documented, they are beyond debate. So the issue is not whether or not it is a vicious form of totalitarianism that brutalizes its own people, lies to the world, and hides its own atrocities. That has to be taken for granted. That is truthful. That is an accurate assessment of that giant, very powerful nation. By the way, that which is shall not be spoken in many circles is China's role, which is still shrouded in some mystery because they refuse to come clean about the origins of COVID, exactly where it started. But we do know that it started in China, and they were very silent, immorally silent, for too long a period of time before alerting the world to the potential spread that they knew was happening through people leaving China and going out to the rest of the world. And again, another reminder about COVID. And by the way, Janet, you're talking about the impact, not just in China, but in so many areas economically about COVID. So many industries that required or reliant on persons showing up at places together, whether it's sporting events, whether it's the Olympics, or whether it's performing arts, really took a seismic hit. I'll just give you one statistic that I tripped over, and that was in 2019, before, of course, the pandemic, just the live music industry, where you go to stadiums and you hear music, orchestras, rock bands, and so forth, was a $20 billion industry.
Wow.
It has been virtually cut in half, if not more than that.
On
so
that note,
that's
by the way,
impact.
On that note, the Grammy Awards, slated to come soon, have been canceled indefinitely. So here we go again for 2022. 877-548-3675. Marty, happy Friday to you. Happy New Year to you as well. You join us from California. Your question, please.
Yeah, happy New Year, Janet.
Thank you.
My question was about the mandates being discussed in the Supreme Court today, and when will they release a decision? I don't think we can wait till June.
Yeah. Craig?
I don't think they're going to wait till June. During the arguments, and that's a good question, because as we, you know, court watchers, all of us, including you, apparently, to your credit, realize that the most controversial decisions are usually kicked down the road until, early June or so forth before the summer recess. This is a different kind of a case. Mm-hmm. They took this case up on an expedited basis. There was even discussion in the oral arguments by the justices. In fact, here's the question that was posed to the attorney for the government, federal government, in advocacy in support of this national mandate for all industries, 100 or more persons. And that is this: what would you say about, do we have the authority, the Supreme Court, to institute a temporary restraint, a temporary restraining order against enforcement of this pending our final decision? That the very fact that question was asked means those justices are already thinking, mm-hmm, we could impose a mandate, give another month or two of consideration, watching some of the data that comes out about where this pandemic is heading, our economy, carefully consider these constitutional questions about federal authority, and in a more reasoned way then come out with our final decision. I think that there's a good chance we will get an early decision earlier than June.
I do, too.
And I think the decision could be in a provisional sense. That mm-hmm. is to say, maybe a temporary restraining order pending a final decision by the court.
I have to tell you.
And I'm talking maybe a few weeks.
Yeah. 80 million people affected. And when there's that kind of an impact, Marty, I think they will be forced to give an expedited kind of a response. By the way, this again from Justice Gorsuch, it is indisputable that the public has a strong interest in combating the spread of the COVID-19 Delta variant. But our system does not permit agencies to act unlawfully, even in pursuit of desirable ends. Another word I heard today that I thought was significant, Craig, and that was the word workaround, which means they're already trying to figure out how do we make sure that we don't spread the infection,
right,
but we don't crush individual liberties.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, going, by the way, from, you know, COVID as a constitutional issue in terms of this mandate to the bigger issue of COVID in general, public health, I have to tell you that there's some irony in the attention that's been played in individual lives around the world, and certainly in this country, to our own health and our own, frankly, our own mortality. You know, we were looking at the month of April. Two significant polar opposite deaths occurred. When I say polar opposite, I mean in terms of the world standing of these two individuals. One is a prince, the other was a prisoner. They both died. Prince Philip died at 99. World known, obviously one of the most recognizable faces in the world as part of the English monarchy. He was the prince, and at the same time, the same month, Bernie Madoff died in prison, a man who was tremendously wealthy and yet caused billions of dollars of losses, $64 billion in losses because of his Ponzi scheme investment scam that hurt so many businesses. So we have a prisoner, we have a prince, both of them died. And it's a reminder, Janet, and not, I don't think either were related to COVID, but the point is that our mortality should be constantly before us. So if we do not know the Lord in this life, we will be meeting him in death, one way or the other. Another reminder, let's reckon with Jesus Christ and the questions about who he is and who God wants us to be while we still have time, we still have our health.
Mm-hmm. I think it was important, too, that justice was handed out in the conviction of Minnesota police officer Derek Chauvin, who was found guilty of murder in the May 2020 death of George Floyd. I think the entire world was on the edge of their seat to see if the system was, in fact, so flawed that in a blatant act so visible for the public that would justice be handed out, and justice did roll down that day.
Yeah, and none of us who watched the videotapes wanted to jump to conclusions, but the conclusion seemed so clear that when the evidence came out in trial in substantiation of that act of clear, intentional deprivation of life and liberty to that individual, then justice was done. It cannot bring back George Floyd, but it can execute judgment, which is the whole purpose of our legal system.
Yeah, absolutely. This is In the Market with Janet Parshall. We have a brand new truth tool this month called Questioning Christianity. I hope 2022 will be the year that you enter boldly the marketplace of ideas with a desire to tell someone about Jesus. And when you get there, there will be people who will question the tenets of our faith. Are you ready to respond and give a reason for the hope that resides within you? That's what this month's truth tool is all about. Check it out at In the Market with Janet Parshall.
There's another sign of life returning to normal. The nation's largest school district with more than a million students will end remote learning beginning this fall.
Monday's clashes are the continuation of riots for days between Jerusalem Arabs, Palestinians, and Israeli police. The unrest began over a land dispute in a Jerusalem neighborhood, escalating into more violence over the weekend during the Night of Power, the holiest night of the year for Muslims.
Ian Pryor says the Loudoun County School Board is abusing its power.
When it comes to parents that want answers to what their kids are being taught or not taught in school, they have no answers.
A manhunt is underway in New York after a shooting in Times Square.
Security cameras captured the exact moment the Metro train plunged onto a busy road, trapping at least one of the cars below under the rubble.
Phone video of attacks against Jews in cities across the U.S. shared on social media show how Palestinian supporters are bringing the war against Israel and against Jews to America's streets.
The Pfizer and BioNTech COVID-19
vaccine was authorised on Wednesday to be stored at standard freezer temperatures for up to a month.
Police in Bangalore patrolled the streets on Monday, stopping vehicles, checking IDs and even herding and whacking lockdown violators.
A 3 a.m. plunge into darkness.
SpaceX copies, brace for splashdown.
The U.S. space program's first nighttime ocean return in more than 50 years.
Now to the deadly plane crash near Nashville, Tennessee. Seven people on board, all are presumed dead. Their small jet crashing into a lake.
Over 1,300 acres of California woodland went up in smoke on Sunday after a wildfire blazed out of control in a Los Angeles suburb.
The ground shook overnight as the Israeli military carried out at least 150 powerful airstrikes against the Gaza Strip.
There are new fears another Canadian pastor could be on his way to jail for fighting government restrictions on worship because of COVID-19.
Again, a quick overview of May 2021 as we look at the year that was. We continue for a second hour next hour, and we'll pick up the year in June and work through December. But let's just talk a little bit about May. Again, Craig, this, I think the cultural fatigue that so many people are feeling with COVID. In May, in fact, May 13th of last year, the CDC eased safety guidance for vaccinated people. Fully vaccinated people don't need to wear a mask or physically distance during most outdoor or indoor activities, according to the CDC. Fast forward to January 2022, not the same. Things keep changing. And I think that's where some of the fatigue comes in for people. The other thing, too, is that we were talking about what was going on in the month of May. That was the month, by the way, that Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a bill banning most abortions after 6 to 8 weeks of pregnancy. That is SB 8, speaking of the high court, having heard that decision. And also, we were talking about SpaceX and Elon Musk. Talk to me about the change that he's making.
Yeah, and it's not just Elon Musk, because next hour we're going to talk about a couple other flights that are going up. What's happening is we're seeing the privatization, private industry participating in what had been a function just of the federal government and our NASA program, now in the hands of private billionaires who are helping to develop rockets and going into orbit, as if to say, you know, the Jetsons cartoon of, well, of a certain age of those of us who remember that cartoon, that promised we'd all be flying around in our little private rocket ships and so forth. Well, that may come at some point within our future, because we have people like Elon Musk financing SpaceX at that point. Successful flight. There had been, you know, it was preceded by a number of failures, but you remember the NASA program down at Cape Canaveral, before we had any manned flights, they had missile after missile after rocket, test runs that exploded, that failed. So that's just the process. It costs a great deal of money and a great deal of patience. But we look like we are going to be on the cusp of expanding in the future to private spaceflight, purely flight by private commercial, not airlines, but rocket lines, I guess, right?
So you can be brilliant. You can be a billionaire. You can send a rocket up into outer space. But all of that is nothing when you stand before the throne of grace. Because the question that will be asked is, did you receive what he did for you, right? In the end, the world gets invited into two camps.
That's right.
So we recently spoke to the editors of the Babylon Bee on this program. I think satire is a very sophisticated art, and I think they do it beautifully. But they had a very serious conversation with Elon Musk recently, and they sat down with him. And they asked him a question. They said this, and I'm quoting them. Babylon Bee is a Christian organization, and we're a ministry. To make this church, we're wondering if you could do us a quick solid and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, personal Lord and Savior. It's a quick prayer. And Musk sat stunned for a few seconds, and then he responded, I agree with the principles that Jesus advocated. There's some great wisdom in the teachings of Jesus. I agree with those teachings. Things like turn the other cheek are very important, as opposed to an eye for an eye. An eye for an eye leaves everyone blind. Forgiveness is important, and treating people as you would wish to be treated. Love thy neighbor as thyself. But hey, if Jesus is saving people, I mean, I won't stand in his way. Sure, I'll be saved. Why not? Mr. Parshall, counselor, respond.
Which means he's edging closer. I took a look at the reading list that Elon Musk has recommended. Now, these are the top 10 books or whatever that he was reading and recommending, and they were all nonfiction, of course. Most of them had to deal with technology and futurism, development of the future civilization and industry, and science. But a number of them, one was by Sam Harris, the famed atheist. The book, in fact, was basically, where do you get your values? And Sam Harris had some ideas about that. Well, obviously not from God. So, Elon Musk, as brilliant as you are, there was a brilliant teacher named Nicodemus who didn't get it until Jesus laid it out for him in that evening discussion. You must be born again, a private, intentional decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior in remission for your sins because of what he did out of his love for you at God's Son on the cross. You're getting closer. We'll pray for you.
Well, in fact, to that end, so we're setting goals for 2022. How about we create a most wanted list, each and every one of us, even people that you may never meet this side of glory, like Elon Musk, and start praying that God would open his heart and that he would recognize who he is and what Christ has done for him. If we started praying for people like that, I think we might start a revolution that won't show up on the front pages of the New York Times or the Washington Post, but it would create headlines in heaven. So why don't we ask people to do that this year?
What a great idea.
Thanks so much for joining us. Again, we're going to continue our review for our second hour now. If you can't stay with us, remember you can go to inthemarketwithjanetmarshall.org. Left-hand side, click on the words past programs and download the podcast and listen at your convenience. Thanks so much for joining us. Happy Friday. Happy New Year. We'll see you next time.